Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm the Sports Hub.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One more song.
Jim was sending this one out to Hardy.
Big Jackson Brown fan.
I don't mind Jackson Brown. I just don't like the loadout.
Oh.
Not a fan of that, huh?
Is this the loadout?
No.
Second half of it.
Yeah. This is the one where they're begging the audience to stay.
Yeah, this isn't
the
part about the loadout, though.
Yeah. This is the part where they're begging the audience to stay because we want to keep playing. It's like, if you're begging us to stay, what does that say about your show?
That's from Dirty Dancing.
We're supposed to be applauding for you to play more. I want to go. I want to beat the traffic. This song is going on way too long.
Some guy might jump on my car. We got to leave.
You're right.
I want to get out of here before the drunks start jumping all over the hoods.
Some allegedly hurt football player might jump on the hood of my car.
You're such a jerk. Josh McDaniels is not going to Cleveland. We'll talk more about Cleveland and their reasons, but let's talk first about this. What does it mean for the Patriots? What does it mean for them in 2020? I'm happy. I don't know how you are on this. I'm happy he's staying put. I'm happy he's still the offensive coordinator. I think that would be a significant loss for the Patriots to overcome going into next season. And the fact that he is still here and he's the offensive coordinator of this team. I know people are very upset with him right now for some of his play calling in recent weeks. I'm not as upset as many of you. I'm glad he's here. I was concerned about the Patriots losing him going into next season and having Bill Belichick take on a lot more responsibility in coaching the offense, taking him away from the defense. We talked a little bit about this with Phil Perry on Friday. He wrote a great story about observing Bill Belichick in the final game of the season, how much time and attention the defense requires Bill Belichick and how much he's putting in on that side of the ball. I don't know how he would have been able to manage it next year with him taking over the offense as well. And so I'm glad Josh McDaniels is here. That's good stability for the Patriots. That is a good thing for next season.
It gets Brady thinking too. And I mean, I think this helps Brady, you know, as Tom knows, okay, Josh has it all figured out. We know what our offense is. It's going to allow me, if I come back, to continue. Now, it depends, you know, how things go here, too. Say Jimmy gets hot and runs it off and ends up winning a damn Super Bowl. You don't think that's going to motivate Brady, too, from a standpoint of, okay, now I got to show you that I could still do it at the age of 43, 44. You know, because everybody says, oh, they chose the wrong guy. I'll prove you wrong. It's interesting that Belichick denied him the ability to push up the interview with the Panthers and the Giants, with the foresight, probably knowing that if they like him, they're going to hire him. And then all of a sudden, I lose another coach. I lose my offensive coordinator. Who's the offensive coordinator if he goes?
Here?
Yeah.
No idea.
No clue. Like, there's no Chad O'Shea in waiting like we always thought, right?
No.
Go back to the last couple of years. There's not. So, Dayball's not available. He's available to interview for head jobs. He can't move and become a coordinator here. What are you going to bring Chad O'Shea back? Maybe. But I think there's sort of that plan there where Bill knows if he exposed him to them that he would have been gone and I would lose a coordinator. Now, how do you as a coordinator come back even though you're paid handsomely? Josh is making a ton of money here. But how do you feel like if you get blocked to not allow go make $70 million like, what's his name, Matt Rhule? Matt Rhule, right? Matt Rhule's making $70 million. So Josh's sitting there. Well, why would you deny me the ability to do that? You know, and here's Joe Judge, the head coach before Josh here. Now, if you look at that Cleveland gig, too, and I think they both agreed, it's not right. I just think it's a smart decision. I still thought Josh and both Tom will be back next year. That's the way it's looking. Got half of it right now.
So I don't think Tom Brady would make his decision based just on Josh McDaniels, right?
No. I'm not saying that. I just think this helps lean you more towards.
I would agree. I would say that this should weigh on him to the point where he says,
comfort.
Well, now I know he knows exactly what the situation is here.
It's a comfort
because
level.
Because play that out. We've talked about Tom Brady and the importance of Brady if he's staying to sign the contract March 17th or earlier. Because of the salary cap implications for the team. It would be a lot easier to sort of navigate if he signs it before then. Not impossible if he doesn't sign it before then, by the way. But if McDaniels is here and is staying put, the situation is now known. Let's assume that over the weekend, Josh McDaniels had taken the job in Cleveland and he's gone. As Zoe just said, who's the guy? There is no Chad O'Shea in waiting.
Bill knows that.
Which means it would now be the middle of January. We are 2 months away from free agency, and the Patriots now have to construct an offensive coaching staff that will be different. And we played through this scenario a few weeks back. If you have to go outside and bring in a new coordinator or someone who has coordinator experience,
right,
they're going to bring their own set of ideas. They're not going to just tailor everything, you know.
See, and I thought
what has already sort of been in place.
Yeah,
like Tom Brady's been in this offense for two decades.
Scar can handle. You know, calling plays. Scar could handle that. He handled being an interim head coach back in the day. But I think Scar has always said that, like, I don't want to be a quarterback. I'm comfortable coaching a unit. So you lose Joe Judge, you lose your receivers coach. Say you would lose McDaniels, and now all of a sudden, all you'd be left with was Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Fierce, both aging veteran coaches that I don't really know if they would want to be offensive coordinators. Some guys like to just coach a position.
Yeah, Ivan Fierce is in his mid-60s.
I'm saying. And I'm not saying Ivan can't call plays. I'm sure he could. But it's a different responsibility and approach and workload when you're a coordinator.
So there is the good in that the situation is now known, right?
Yes.
That's good. You know what the bad part is? What Tommy Curran told us on his podcast, Patriots Talk, last week. This is the bad part.
If you're the Patriots, you're not looking at Tom Brady and saying, how are we going to live without him? Because you have, over the last couple of years, kind of marginalized his role in the game planning and ownership aspects of what happens in the offense. That's part of the reason that Tom Brady has intimated so often in this past season, I just work here. I don't coach. He has been less and less a part of game plans, organization, play calling, and planning in the last couple of years than at any other time.
So that's the bad part. It really is. Because it's now sort of the devil you know. Well, I know the situation. I know the setup there. But I also know Josh has pushed me out of the game planning the last two seasons. So I know if I go back there, I'm dealing with that again. With someone new, there would be the uncertainty. Oh, do I really want to work with this guy? But there would not be the element of maybe Brady getting pushed out. So there's some give and take here. Yes, do I think ultimately McDaniels being back and there being some stability on the coaching staff and there at least being an offensive buffer between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and vice versa? Yeah, I think that helps. But I also know that based on that reporting by Tommy Curran, if you want to call it reporting, whatever it is, informed opinion, that to me could pose a problem. Oh, I got to go back and deal with this again. Oh, great. Josh is staying. Oh, good. Can't wait to come back and get pushed out of the game plan. Can't wait to sit there and give Josh my opinions and have them count for nothing. That could backfire here.
Was that an organizational decision or a McDaniels decision?
I'd love to know.
I always just assumed that was more of an organizational thing, not necessarily a McDaniels thing.
It's so hard because you don't, you know, We hear from Josh every once in a while on these conference calls and stuff, and you know, he say, "Well, I don't pick all the pieces," and I'm sure he would love to have some of the receivers that you see out there running around.
Let you answer this: What's the relationship that? Between Brady and McDaniels the same as it was 2 years ago?
I would say yes.
Yeah,
I
unchanged,
think so.
Unfazed.
I think
no
so.
Different. like there's too many rumors on that front. A lot of smoke. Is there any fire? I wonder.
That's what happens when you lose. The stuff gets blown up more.
I don't think it was the losing, though. It's a question worth asking. Wonder how it's all going to work.
Yeah.
McDaniels is still here. That's good. That's stability. Ultimately, it's good for the Patriots, regardless of who their quarterback is. That's what it is. It's good for the team. And why did Cleveland not want him? Yeah, we got to get to that. Because Cleveland's a bunch of morons. That team is stupid. They, of course, have Cleveland Brown fingerprints all over their coaching hire. It feels like a Cleveland
hire. Was a six head coach in 9 years?
Oh, yep. We'll get to that. Cleveland Browns, why they didn't want McDaniels and why they did want Stefanski, that is next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Greenfield.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
The stupid Browns. You know, I want to say about a month ago on the football fix, we had a great season finale.
Now you did Friday fix. I saw that one. You're fixing it.
Great season finale on the football fix. Thank you to everyone who watched all season long on NBC Sports Boston. I said to Phil Perry about a month ago, I said, you know why I'm not worried about McDaniels going to Cleveland? He said, why? And I said, because they're the Browns and they're a bunch of idiots and they probably won't hire him anyway. And it was sort of a joke, you know, but like a half joke.
Yeah.
Because I fully expected them to screw this thing up. And maybe they didn't screw up their head coaching hiring in terms of figuring out who would be the best fit for their organization and how they operate. But during the course of this hiring, we learned through some reporting on the matter what their organization is and how they run things. And it is amazingly Cleveland Brown-like.
Yeah.
Here are some reports from over the weekend. Dustin Fox, who reports that he was told candidates had to agree to turn in their game plans to the owner and the analytics department by Friday of each game week. Hold on, let me finish the tweet. And to attend an end-of-week analytics meeting to discuss their game plan with the analytics people on Friday. That means Josh McDaniels or Kevin Stefanski goes in on Friday and says, guys, first to the owner, Haslam, then to the analytics people, here's my plan. Let's hear the feedback.
So baby's in the barn.
He's got to email it to Dee Podesta, though, right?
Right.
Because he's in California.
So the baby's in the barn.
He's
Friday.
On the beach.
Is that the same? From the beach.
It's San Diego.
He's in the barn.
Hayes in the barn
is the same, right?
Right.
So you have a whole 5-day preparation period where your team has exhausted itself and got itself ready to play a football game in 2 days. And after practice Friday, when Friday is really your polish day.
Oh, so amazing.
So Friday, you pretty much weed out everything that hasn't worked during the week. And then you have to go to an analytics meeting to clear your game plan.
So here's my question.
So you can make zero adjustments by game time?
I was going to ask. So let's say Stefanski brings in the game plan week one next year on a Friday. Week one, he delivers the game plan to Dee Podesta and his baseball nerds that are now working for the Cleveland Browns. And he gives it to the owner as well. Jimmy Haslam wants a copy too. So these guys look at the game plan on Friday afternoon. They don't like it. The analytics people hate it. What are you going to do between Friday and Sunday to fix that problem?
Well, you have a walkthrough on Saturday.
Oh, so great.
You have about a... Oh, it's a 50-minute... Here's what happens Saturdays. It's a 50-minute special teams call-out walkthrough.
Yeah. So when the coach goes into the walkthrough now on Saturday, hey, guys...
We're gonna change our first of all play.
The stuff we installed on offense and defense over multiple days of practice this week, yeah, we got to scrap that. The nerds upstairs say it's no good.
The nerd on the West Coast.
Good luck. Yeah, hey, that guy who's got his toes in the water out there in San Diego, yeah, he Skyped in. He FaceTimed me and said, game plan? Yeah, got to go.
No plans. If you've been around...
Oh, that's going to go over so well.
Back a thumbs down emoji.
I mean, anybody that's been around the sport of football or knows the implementation of game plans and what goes into work week, I don't know how anybody could even entertain the idea of it. If you're an ownership or if you're a GM,
I can just picture
your counsel.
First of all,
like seriously,
as I said last week, Kevin Stefanski's entertaining that idea, though.
Paul D. Podesta.
Well, Kevin Stefanski's got a gun to say, you're going to make a lot of money. Come on in.
Paul D. Podesta.
This will be his first job.
Does not look like Jonah Hill. But for the sake of the conversation, it's fun to picture Paul Jonah D. Podesta as Jonah Hill.
Right.
And then I just picture Jonah Hill, because that was in the movie Moneyball. Paul D. Podesta was played by Jonah Hill. So I just picture like Jonah Hill in a beach chair with like, you know, the zinc oxide all over his
slatted
nose.
Slatted beach chair. Slatted one.
Sunglasses on and like a, you know, a pina colada in his hand. With like, yeah, Kevin. No, game plan, no good, man. Ran it by my guys. They say no good.
I like that post route.
You got to scrap it, dude.
That's more Wolf of Wall Street, Jonah Hill, though.
But that's what it is. Dude, you got to scrap it. You got to go back to the drawing board. Yeah, I know the game is on Sunday. You got like 48 hours. Don't go to bed tonight. Thanks. Click. Is that what's going on?
You work for 5 days coming up with a game plan.
How the hell?
Send it upstairs at the end of the week. Nah, I don't think so. Try this again. We don't like this, this, and this.
This guy is in the football trenches there with his players practicing, getting ready for games. And then he's got to report to the guy who's on the beach in San Diego and say, hey, baseball guy, what do you think of my football game plan for a National Football League game this weekend? And then that guy has the right of like refusal? Right. What the hell? What kind of team are you running, Cleveland?
How about this?
You guys are hosed.
Right,
you're never going to win anything.
Right of first refusal, Beetle. It's a standard contract practice.
Here's more on this. Kevin Stefanski, according to Steve Dorshak, who is also reporting on this, Kevin Stefanski presented a detailed vision of how he will approach the head coaching gig. He made it clear he was willing to yield to certain D. Podesta standards, such as an analytics person with a headset and access to the coaching staff on game days. You know what? I say we pipe in D. Podesta from the beach, like right into the headsets. It'll be like Ernie Adams over satellite. That's what it's going to be. He says this, though, which also caught my eye. In addition, he is yielding to certain Haslam likes, such as hours-long Monday after owner-coach meetings. So after he goes through the ringer to get his game plan installed and get it passed by the nerds upstairs to be able to call the plays on Sunday, he then on Monday after the game has to come in and sit down with the know-nothing owner and have hours-long meetings with the guy who owns the team. Josh McDaniels wanted this job. I hope that he found out throughout the course of that process that he did not want that job.
You think they bring Obun Pan in?
That sounds terrible.
I mean, it could be a nice little thing on Mondays. Like you bring in a little sandwich platter, you have a nice water jug, and sit there in one of those round conference tables and have a nice sandwich platter. Maybe you have one to wrap. Maybe a focaccia sandwich. And talk over some football. Well, what'd you think? How do you think the game went yesterday? How do you think we did on Thursday?
You know, last year was sort of fun when the Browns started winning a little bit. Not this past season. The season prior to that. When Baker Mayfield started some games.
Yeah, and he played with some moxie.
And there was a real, you know, level of excitement for Browns fans. Who I feel
you're
so
happy they won.
I feel so bad for Cleveland Browns fans because they're diehards. And they've been really abused as a fan base for decades. They've been abused. They still keep coming. They still support their team. They love football in Cleveland, and they just want their team to be good.
Better in Cincinnati. So much better in Cincinnati.
And so I do feel for them, and I was happy that the Cleveland fans got a little bit of excitement back around their football team last year. But now, between their quarterback, their diva receiver in OBJ, their idiotic coaching hire of Freddie Kitchens, and now this, I can't bring myself to feel good about the Browns doing anything positive under that ownership. What a clown show. Oh, I find them so easy to root against it now, which was never really the case before.
See, you got a OBJ who gets traded there. You know, he didn't choose to go there. So now you look at it and you say, I don't blame the guy for wanting out of there. Like, it's not like you were winning with the Giants, but at least the structure was better there. At least in an organization that thinks they know what they're doing.
Well, then he should have been better with the Giants.
He should have been a better teammate
and a better player to be coached.
No, he should have been better.
It's his own damn fault. I don't feel bad for that guy at all.
I don't feel bad. I'm just
saying. He'd be in New York if he were a good player, if he worked hard all the time, if he was focused all the time. If he wasn't an a-hole, he'd still be there. So I do not feel bad for that player.
I look at it, that's a guy that I think you could maybe go get.
However, I will score one for Dee Podesta that I did read about this weekend. Credit where credit is due. Apparently, when the Cleveland Browns hired Hugh Jackson, he wrote what is described as a Hail Mary email to Jimmy Haslam at the last moment, pleading and begging Jimmy Haslam to not hire Hugh Jackson and to hire Sean McDermott. How would they be different right now had he gotten his way when that happened? How much better shape would Cleveland be in with Sean McDermott as their head coach?
It's a good question.
Because you're seeing the turnaround in Buffalo. You're seeing that they're sort of building it the right way. I don't think they have the quarterback yet, but they're on their way.
No, but Cleveland has a halfway decent team. Cleveland's got some talent on defense.
Yep.
I'm just saying, you put it in McDermott's hands, maybe
there'd be more stability. They'd have a better team, and so I'll credit Dee Podesta on that one. He certainly knew not to hire Hugh Jackson.
Right.
He thought that was a joke, as it was.
I mean, all you got to do is watch Hard Knocks.
We've got Read and React coming up next, though.
All right.
No, don't go anywhere.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
Is that going to make this more or less embarrassing?
No.
And react.
What if Morgan Freeman were Canadian?
Oh, okay. Canadian prison.
With Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay.
We ready?
Yeah.
Let's hit it.
All right, here we go. Read and react, gentlemen.
You got enough for this?
Not a yes, sir. Uh-oh. Not a follower.
Well, this is fun.
React.
It's funny how rich people have fun.
Yeah. So we know that the Ravens lost to the Titans on Saturday night. Lamar Jackson was in the post game. He was asked about the Pro Bowl. Hey, you know, you made the Pro Bowl. Everyone is
12 of them did. They can all play it.
You wouldn't be able to go.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Now, you know, what about Pro Bowl, Lamar?
I know the game just ended. Have you decided to play in the Pro Bowl?
I didn't even think about that. I just lost. Forget that Pro Bowl. I wanted to be in the Super Bowl, you know, but it is what it is. I'll think about that tomorrow or whatever, you know, when I get my mind off this loss. I don't care about Pro Bowl.
It's a good answer.
They're all available now, though, just so you know.
All 12.
All 12 of them. The Pro Bowl will be significantly better now given that those Ravens are all going to make it to the game.
Like, was that a Pro Bowl plant in there to ask that question? Like, who cares? Who was thinking after that loss? It's like, are they going to play in the Pro Bowl? You were thinking about it.
Every Ravens reporter that said, if 12 of these guys go to Orlando, I have to go to Orlando to cover this thing.
No, I thought about it right away. I tweeted about it. I said, these guys are available for the game now.
But do you?
They're available.
Do you care?
No, I only care. No, I don't. I think that the fact that they got eliminated in the embarrassing fashion that they did, that they should all now show up. Nope. Sorry. You didn't earn your right to skip the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, right.
You did a lot of trash talking this year. And for that, you got to show up. You got to play in the game.
It's like when LeGarrette Blount and who else got punished by having to play in the fourth preseason game Steelers? Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
Yeah, that was their punishment. Right. They had to play. Here's your punishment. You have to play in the Pro Bowl game. Now you can't not play.
React.
All right, so after the Texans lost to the Chiefs yesterday, Deshaun Watson asked about Bill O'Brien, or was asked about Bill O'Brien.
No doubt. I mean, you might have doubt, but there's no doubt. I mean, I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. And, I mean, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, you know, through all the media and all the writing. But as long as I'm at quarterback, he's cool with me. You know, he's got my heart. He's going to get all my 110% every time I step on that field. So y'all can say whatever, but I'm going to always be rooting for that man and going to play hard for him.
It's a nice answer.
I don't know what else he can say. I mean, you're the quarterback of the team. It's not, you know, it's not like Baker Mayfield getting up there and saying, yeah, we mishandled the injury the wrong way in our training room.
Yeah.
You know, probably should have got operated on, but we didn't do that. That's his play caller. That guy built it around him. He's in a tough spot. Tough spot facing a franchise. We don't say, I want change. If he says you want change, then you got to make change, right?
But like, I think we should blow it up.
You know what?
How's that going
to
go over?
Yeah, I've been feeling.
But
this
what
way.
If he says now is not the right time for that? We just lost the game.
Exactly. There's a lot of ways to answer that. It's like, you know, look, coach. You know, I play, and you know, we all did our best job. But he went to the mat for him. That's why I say it was a nice answer. He didn't have to say all that, but he did.
Three.
Favre played for the Vikings.
That's better than the isolated one.
Let's never forget about this. Yeah. Let's make sure we play that as much as possible.
Packers beat the Seahawks last night. We know about that. Aaron Rodgers asked about a fake rub route on a Devontae Adams the first Devontae Adams or touchdown. Adams' first touchdown. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers.
When Pat comes to you guys with something like that fake rub route on the first touchdown, what does it do for you just knowing that he's thinking about the game at that level, he's putting you guys in the right spots, just as a player, just as a confidence builder?
That play?
Yeah, just like when he comes to you with it, just like seeing like that kind of, those wrinkles, that sort of creativity, what does it do for you as a player?
I came up with that play.
Oh, okay. There you go then.
I suggested it on Monday.
Okay, there it is.
I'm glad you called it. That's kind of what that point was for. He was pointing at me. I was pointing back at him.
Yeah. I told you. I told you, Carl, put it in.
He's insufferable, isn't he?
This is like off the McCarthy comments from the other day.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, that? You like that? Oh, that was me. I put that in. That's my play.
I wasn't pointing at him in the sideline. He was pointing at me.
He's pointing at me. We're pointing at each other because I told him
make sure
about
you
this play.
Credit me.
About doing this play. It was my idea.
I told you.
And so how does that feel? I feel great about myself.
I mean, there's something really off with that guy.
There's something.
Did you watch
weird
it? Did you see him in the post game?
You know what I love?
He's just not all there.
Is the non-football fans, like my wife, who last night goes, "Oh, that's Aaron Rodgers, right?" Yeah, she goes, "Yeah, he's the guy who doesn't talk to his family."
Yeah. What he's known for.
He's just got that grovelly look to him. Like,
and the most casual of fans. People have no idea what's going on in this game. Don't know if it's a preseason game or a playoff game.
Right.
And say, oh, that's an Aaron Rodgers guy. Yeah, he doesn't talk to his family. You know that he sent their Christmas presents back? I love that he's known for that.
Yes.
To people that don't give a damn about the games.
Famous for it.
Three.
Were you behind Zola?
React.
All right, so the 49ers beat the Vikings on Saturday. Richard Sherman
feeling. He loves himself some Richard Sherman.
He loves winning at this time of year.
You root for them because of him Super Bowl week, right?
This guy's insane. I love him.
Well, there are still critics of Richard Sherman.
Oh, they're idiots.
And, well, he has a message for his critics.
I get tired of hearing, oh, man, he's a zone corner. I get tired of hearing the excuses for why I'm great. It was man coverage. I covered the man. I picked the ball off. In the playoffs, in big games, I show up. I show up year in, year out. Whether it's 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, unless I tear my Achilles, I'm out there and I'm doing my job at a high level. And I think I get tired of the excuses, you know, for why I'm good. Oh, my God, they're playing zone. Oh, my God, it was this guy. Oh, my God, receiver slipped. Oh, my God. It's like, why don't other people get those outs then? You know what I mean? There's a lot of other corners out there who have the same.
Get the what?
Outs.
Ops.
It's like, why don't other people get those ops then?
Opportunities.
All right. Yeah. Opportunities.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of other corners out there who have the same ops I have. It's odd. It's like people got frustrated that I was so confident early on in my career. I was so confident early on so that people wanted me to fail. And when I didn't fail, it's like, how do we tear them down in other ways?
Tell me which part is wrong. Which part is wrong out of everything he just said?
He's really good at creating that narrative opposite. He's been doing this his whole career.
No, he's not incorrect. It's just, you know, the
sorry ass Crabtree.
just take all that talent and even take some of that confidence. Just a dose of humility. Just a quick shake of the wrist.
See, I think you hear that and you say this guy is not humble at all. I think this is a little bit of a put on with Richard Sherman.
Oh, most of it is staged, I think.
I don't think this is how...
He's a smart guy.
He truly, 100%, I don't think he's this overly... Because you hear it, and you take it on its face value.
Some
and you
of
say,
show.
This guy's a cocky SOB. What's this guy's deal? Like, what's your issue? Now, I think he's next level, is what I think.
What?
Now.
So, play that out for
because
him.
A lot of times he's not doing it about himself, he's doing it about the team. Much of his talk is about how everyone doubts us. Everyone doesn't believe in us. You heard it all at the start of the year. Go ahead, keep doubting us. Yep. Keep doubting this team. And then every once in a while, he does it for himself, too. I think it's all part of the same sort
of his resurgence
facade.
That
he uses and guys around him feed off it. It's just the way it's been his whole career.
We were Legion of Boom. They tore it down, all that.
I think you can be a smart guy and a talented guy and be obnoxiously cocky about it at the same time. And I don't know that he's
not doing that every week, though.
Yeah, well,
the guys who are the obnoxiously, you know, cocky guys, they pull that crap after every game. Have we heard an outburst like this about himself at any point this year yet?
If they end up being the story about the game, but they didn't win every week, and you don't advance to the NFC Championship every week. I mean, he was a focal point. Look, I'm not saying he's dumb by any means. Obviously, Richard Sherman
is definitely not.
But I don't think he's as smart as he gets credit for. You want to know why? Because he's constantly talking about how smart he is. And that's the first indicator that he's not all that smart.
I didn't hear that.
Not then, but you've never heard him talk about how brilliant he is and what a smart guy he is. Where did he go to school?
Stanford. Went to Stanford.
How do you know that? Because he brings it up at every conceivable opportunity. I went to Stanford. I did that.
I went to Harvard.
I went to Harvard or Stanford.
Doesn't Fitzpatrick do that?
Yeah. I'd go to any of those. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm no dummy.
He's always telling you how smart he is, which
you don't enjoy him at all.
Oh, I think he's a great player.
No,
but
I mean the off the field stuff. Of course, he's a great player. That's
I don't
not
think
even
it's
debatable.
I don't think it's a put on. You're saying it's a put on.
No, I think partially it's a little over the top on purpose.
What I don't know what purpose it serves.
I think other guys feed off.
I think
other guys gravitate toward him and feed off that sort of thing that he builds. That us against the world mentality.
Well, if he's so
that
smart,
great teams have used to their advantage for years.
If he's so smart, doesn't he know that other teams use it as bulletin board material too?
They don't do it as well as he does. That's all I get to say. Not like he does. He's got a
flair.
It's
been going on for a while.
I like him.
Remember were you mad, bro? From the Patriots game out there in Seattle. He's been doing this forever. This is the way he does it. I like him. I think he's got swagger. I think you need it to play that position.
I don't think it's a put on. I think that's how he is.
See, but I mean, to your point, part of the tone down, like you asked Stephon Gilmore, are you the best defensive player in the league? He goes, well, let the tape speak for itself. Yeah, I think so.
The people who are really, really smart and really, really great don't feel the need to constantly tell you how great and how smart they are. That's all.
Red Robin. Yum.
React.
That's it.
617-779-0985. Quickly, a diversion to baseball. Shaughnessy has an all-timer today. Column with direct quotes from the ownership of the Red Sox. We'll touch on that next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
So, you read up on Shaughnessy today or what?
Yeah.
Shaughnessy was about to write a column about the Red Sox cutting payroll, and the major point of his column was going to be that John Henry had accidentally blurted out in his press conference at the end of the year that the team was trying to get under the 208 for the reset. That was back on September 27th.
Right.
When 12 minutes into the press conference, as Shaughnessy wrote, that John Henry had said, this year we need to be under the CBT. That is something we've known for more than a year now. That's a direct quote from the owner of the team.
Yeah.
Direct quote from John Henry, September 27th. So Shaughnessy was going to write about that and say he accidentally sort of let this slip out, that the Red Sox didn't have any intention of actually telling people about this. So what did he do? He wrote an email to ownership of the Red Sox. That's what he did. He had an email exchange with the owners. So he emailed Henry, Werner, and Sam Kennedy last Thursday. This is what Shaughnessy's email to the owners and Sam Kennedy said. Guys, I'm working on a column in which I will suggest that there was no plan to disclose the mandate to get under the $208 million luxury tax threshold before you went into the September 27th press conference. It felt like John just came out with it spontaneously. And now that is the charge for Chaim Bloom? Is this accurate? Question mark. At 9 p.m. last Thursday, Tom Werner responded, "Our plan has been the same since 2002, namely to be competitive year in and year out. That is the charge for Heim." Oh, what a useless answer that is. Oh, there's nothing more aggravating than a guy who just speaks in platitudes and is giving you no concrete anything. Go away. What's your job here? Stop. Useless answer. Don't even reply. John Henry, on the other hand, came out firing with some awesome quotes.
And I love that this is always an email form, too. Like, he doesn't have the ability to pick up the phone. It's just everything's an email.
First of all, I think John Henry on the matter is a little delusional that it's a media creation, considering his direct quote said, "We need to reset, and we've known it for more than a year." He tries to pin this on the media, which is sort of ridiculous, but I want to give John Henry a lot of credit for A, responding, and B, responding like this. Henry writes, "To Shaughnessy, you might actually be right for once."
This is so good.
"You might actually be right for once in that I don't plan what I'm going to say before answering media questions in a live media event." For that, tip of the cap to John Henry.
Yeah. It's tough to admit that, especially when, the perception on this team from day one when this first came out at the end of the year was no Mookie Betts. They're not going to have the money. They don't have a farm system.
No, but he sort of gets himself in trouble because he's honest.
Right. This is the stuff like he does down at the damn picnic tables.
I didn't want Carl Crawford.
Yeah.
I didn't even want the guy. honest, brutally honest, yet probably not the best thing to say from a PR perspective.
Yep.
So, hey, honesty. We like that. Good for you, John Henry.
When he came in to see you
might actually be right, Shaughnessy.
That's when Henry's at his best, when he's allowed to speak.
But this is when he loses me. But this focus on CBT resides with the media far more than it does within the Sox. I think every team probably wants to reset at least once every 3 years. That's sort of been the history. But just this week, I reminded Baseball Ops that we are focused on competitiveness over the next 5 years, over and above resetting. To which they said, that's exactly how we've been approaching it. I have a hard time believing that, number one.
Well, thank God they weren't approaching it differently if the John Henry had something else in mind.
Right? Because you're telling
me
that...
January.
You're telling me, John, that from the time you hired Heim Bloom, you, not until now, conveyed how it is you feel about how they should be approaching things? Or were they guessing? How did they know not to approach it with resetting?
I thought it was going to be a concerted effort.
You said publicly on the 27th of September, we got to reset. He goes on to say, you seem to think, talking to Shaughnessy,
media,
you seem to think Heim was brought in to reduce payroll. That has simply not been the way Fenway Sports Group operates here or across the pond.
Across the pond. Bring that into it.
We try to act responsibly so as to be consistently competitive. Your main point seems to be that I accidentally disclosed the secret plan. But unlike you, I am honest about Sox issues. This is my favorite part. Unlike you, you lying sack of bleep.
It gives him something.
I'm honest.
Takes a shot at him.
Yeah. The multiple shots at Shaughnessy are brilliant.
I think this guy wants
the owner of the company. Yeah, yeah. Works
this
for.
Is yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Me, you, boss.
This is so great.
You're dishonorable employee. Yeah.
Let's not forget about that. This isn't just the owner of the Red Sox. It's Dan's
boss. It's one of the Beasley's emailing you guys.
Right.
It's one of the Beasley's emailing you guys directly.
Right. It's sort of different, but
not really
it
the boss,
sort of
but
makes
the owner.
Sense.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, like the owner of the company. Yes.
He wants to tell you so much more. He just can't.
He says, the question was asked and I answered it. That is John Henry. Now, I disagree with parts of what John Henry said, but I read this in Shaughnessy's column and I say, all right. Way to have an edge, John Henry. All right. That is great. You should answer these emails more often.
It makes you like him more.
Yo, exactly. Yeah,
this is the likability factor with him. This really
is. This makes John
Henry brutal honesty.
Incredibly likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he does this stuff.
You like him the most when he's, you know, when he's honest. Because it feels like most of the other time with Warner or Lucchino when he was here, they were feeding you a load of crap. Or they would always pull back on him.
I know Dan doesn't want to get into a back and forth with him because he's working on a story. And, you know, we're not going to make this personal. But
he may have gotten into a back and forth with him. Who knows?
I would ask, well, what issues regarding the team have I been dishonest about? I mean, I'm not making proclamations based in fact. I offer opinions on what I see, but Henry's accusing him of being dishonest about the team's issues. What have I been dishonest? If I say I think that you paid too much for Chris Sale and David Price, I'm stating an opinion.
If I say that Dave Dombrowski is likely to be fired, and then you fire him,
where am I dishonest?
Where was I wrong?
Right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's a different discussion. But the important part is John Henry is publicly saying that it is not the mission of the Red Sox to get under the 208. Did their moves?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.